Welcome to The Warcast, your geopolitical briefing that tells you what you need to know, when you need to know it. The Warcast is for War on the Rocks members only. Spread the word and tell your friends and colleagues to sign up at warontherocks.com/subscribe.
Over the past few weeks, American politics was roiled by a memorandum for House Intelligence Committee Chair Devin Nunes and other majority members from the committee's majority staff, purported to show impropriety in the Russian investigation. I'm speaking with Julian Sanchez, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute and a member of the Board of Editors at Just Security. Welcome to the Warcast, Julian.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Before the memo's release, we had some expectations of what it was supposed to say. What did we think it was going to say, and why was its declassification so controversial at the time?
Well, the claim by Democrats at the time and continuing was that it had essentially omitted essential context in the interest of ginning up an apparent scandal. And there were also some suggestions that it might contain information that would be harmful to either national security or the investigation to release. I don't know how well that held up, but I think the fairer objection would be it was missing so much context that in order to assess its claims, one would require the release of more information that might get closer to the dreaded compromise of sources and methods. So the central claim we were led to expect, which did turn out to be central to the memo, and maybe its most significant substantive claim, was that information from the now infamous Steele dossier, that's information about Trump's alleged ties to Russia and the Trump campaign's alleged ties to Russia, compiled by former MI6 agent Christopher Steele, compiled on behalf of Fusion GPS and underwritten by the Democratic National Committee, was used in October 2016 as part of an application for a FISA order, a wiretap order, targeting the former Trump advisor, Carter Page. And the critical claim of the memo was that the dossier had been relied upon, but that the FBI had failed to apprise the FISA court of the politically motivated origins of the memo. That is to say that this was derogatory information that the DNC had basically paid something like $160,000 for Steele to dig up. And so this was not something that should be regarded as a neutral and reliable piece of information. Now that claim is not held up too well, that critical claim, because as it turns out, and is essentially confirmed by a letter that Chuck Grassley made public on, I think, Monday evening, or it might have been just Tuesday, what we learned is that essentially the Bureau did, in a footnote, make clear that there was some American political entity that was underwriting Steele's research. Some people say, well, but they didn't say the DNC. They didn't say the Clinton campaign. But if you look at the Grassley letter, it also becomes pretty clear that they were essentially obscuring proper nouns, in particular U.S. person information, throughout. It's not even clear they referred to Steele by name as opposed to just describing him as a source. So it wouldn't be unusual if they didn't specifically name the DNC either. So that aspect of the claims in the memo, it didn't hold up particularly well. They made some additional attempts to sort of imply bias on Steele's part that they had been improperly withheld. So, for example, they talk about Steele at some point expressing a view that he was very concerned to prevent Trump from being elected. This is sort of painted as a pre-existing ideological bias, although I think it's fair to simply read that as the natural reaction of someone who believes his sources, that there's some sort of attempt by Russia to push this person, and this person has accepted Russian help. The more critical question, and I think one that's raised more squarely by Grassley's letter, is, was there an adequate basis for this initial order? Weirdly, the Nunes memo, in a sense, drew together a lot of disparate bits of information, but I thought rather conspicuously didn't actually say directly the things that would be relevant. It didn't say the Page dossier was the exclusive or even the primary piece of evidence relied on to establish probable cause that Carter Page had been acting as an agent of a foreign power. And it didn't really say directly that Steele's information had been relied on in some critical role without corroboration. The Nunes memo talks a lot about, in some ways, pretty disingenuously, I think, the dossier as a whole not having been corroborated. So it says there was a later finding by another FBI unit that the dossier had been minimally corroborated. And then it talks about James Comey's later testimony where he refers to parts of the dossier as a salacious and unverified. And that certainly raised an eyebrow for me, because if you look at what Comey was talking about in the testimony that was quoted, it's very clear that he was essentially referring there to the P-tape allegations, the claim in one of the memoranda that comprise the Steele dossier that there was reason to believe that Trump had engaged prostitutes in Moscow and that he'd been caught on tape in one particular encounter involving prostitutes urinating on a bed. It's clear from the testimony that when Comey says salacious and unverified, he's really talking specifically about that. And so the fact that the Nunes memo sort of relied on this as their evidence that the important claims in the dossier had not been corroborated, seems sort of suspiciously indirect, right? What matters is, are there specific facts that were key to the probable cause finding that Carter Page is an agent of a foreign power that were mentioned in the application, that those facts were uncorroborated? Because that's what's significant to whether the warrant was appropriate, not whether there was some other information that was unverified or false, for that matter, in the dossier. And the Nunes memo didn't say any of that directly. It tried strongly as hell to imply it, but it didn't actually say it, which I think left a lot of people thinking, well, this is very suspect. This is a pretty tendentious memo. And so for it not to even directly assert the facts that would actually be relevant to the case it's trying to build suggests that the evidence isn't there. A Grassley's letter is more direct on these points. It says that the dossier was the bulk of the FISA application, and that its assertions seem to have been offered without independent corroboration beyond their reliance on Steele as a previously trustworthy source. Now this is, let's say, in itself not obviously scandalous exactly, in the sense that it doesn't, I think, show a deliberate effort to deceive the court in the way the Nunes memo was trying to imply. I would consider that thin basis to wiretap an American citizen. If it's true that the basis for this was just the dossier, which is itself, in essence, secondhand reports, Steele summarizing what various sources in Russia have told him. And there isn't a bunch of other material suggesting that it's accurate. I would regard that as rather thin, but it doesn't make the case that they necessarily, unfortunately, it doesn't necessarily show that was improper as such. The FISA court granted that on essentially that narrow basis. Maybe that suggests an issue with the FISA court. Doesn't suggest as much an issue with the FBI.
You've been listening to my conversation with Julian Sanchez of the Cato Institute. Please join us for part two of this conversation when we discuss the national security implications of the Nunes memo.